Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. Today I am recording live, and you'll be able to hear this podcast forever at allpeoplequilt.com on our podcast page. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today our show is brought to you by Moda Fabrics. You can go visit your local quilt shop, or you can go online to modafabrics.com, and you can see their latest fabric collections. So I've got great guests, absolutely fantastic guests. The first people who are going to visit with me this morning or this afternoon are Susan Emery and Christine Van Buskirk, who are the team behind Swirly Girl Designs. They design fabric, have patterns, books, nifty tools for quilters. So I've got them here with me. Hi, Christine. Hi, Susan. Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I am great. Was that Susan?
Christine, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm really glad to have you on. And it's always fun to talk to people who design as a team. Susan, why don't you go first so we can get your, you know, figure out your voice. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay. I went to school for graphic design and lived in Seattle. And I was always a quilter. Everybody in my family is quilters. Ooh. And I moved to Richmond, Virginia about 11 years ago and bought a quilt shop.
Just bought one, just on a whim. How about Christine?
It kind of was, yes.
Oh, and so, my background is completely different. I grew up in a family of engineers. And even though I had a mom that sewed, it was more garment sewing. And I didn't come to quilting until late in the game. But it's absolutely the design and the patterns that drew me in. I love the geometry and the symmetry and all the graphic part of quilting.
Yeah, I do find, and Christine, I'm sure now that, you know, both of you have, you know, worked with quilters for so long that the geometry really attracts people who to quilting because you get to use that sort of math part of your brain. Do you find that, Christine?
Oh, absolutely. All the people that hate math, but it's in there. It's in all those quilts you see, it's the geometry, and it really is beautiful, and the symmetry is what makes things beautiful a lot of times. I mean, there's art quilts, too, but I'm definitely a piecer.
So, Susan, I have to ask you the million-dollar question, because I'm sure that I'm not the first person to ask you this. You opened a quilt shop, but you don't have a quilt shop anymore. So what happened? Why'd you sort of change it up?
Well, after Christine and I started Swirly Girls, it sort of took off unexpectedly quicker than we expected. And just decided that there was only so many hours in the day, and we decided to pursue design, and I had a buyer. So the shop is still there and going strong, and it was just good timing.
Good. Yeah. So, Susan, tell people where they would have met you both had you, you know, if they'd visited your shop prior.
Our shop was Quilter's Corner in Midlothian, Virginia.
And Christine, you worked in the shop, right? You were the manager?
I actually worked in the shop before Susan bought it.
Oh.
So I tell her I'm the best asset she got with the shop.
That's great. I really like that. I really, really like that. Okay, so this design team stuff, I mean, every group that I talk to that designs as a team has their own unique way of doing things. You started Swirly Girls. Are you both creating patterns? Does one of you create the patterns and the other one? We'll talk about patterns first. What's your workflow?
Well, we both design patterns. But mm-hmm. when it comes to actually writing them, that's, I think, where our two backgrounds come in very nicely, where I will do a lot of the technical writing, mm-hmm. all the math parts of writing a pattern, and Susan, with her graphic design background, can do all the layout. And I think all our patterns come from both directions, both our left and our right brain format, so that they have to make sense to both her and me, and that should cover everybody that's ever reading our patterns, no matter right. whether they like the words or the pictures. They're both mm-hmm. going to be good in our patterns.
You know, that's a really kind of interesting take, because there are so many ways people work that is it's good to be able to meet all of the people. So when you get to fabric, Susan, is that sort of your starting point? Are you the starting point for the fabric designs?
Often, but we both really collaborate on everything, because we always like to say it's not about me, because we have differing opinions, and we like to make sure that we're creating the best of everything that we can do. So we definitely collaborate, especially on color.
Okay. So what's your process to get a fabric line started? Your fabrics are with Michael Miller, and they're absolutely beautiful. Tell me, like, what the latest fabric line is, and maybe how you guys designed it.
Sure. Our latest line is called Delightful, and it's actually just about to come out into stores this month. And we started with some flower shapes, and there's a tonal in there that was sort of inspired from an old handkerchief that we came across, a vintage mm-hmm. handkerchief. Mm-hmm. And we collaborate with a team at Michael Miller, and somehow it all comes together in time for Quilt Market.
It all comes, I know, that's always the crazy part, isn't it? Now, can people find the fabrics on your website?
There's a little preview on our products page. There's a fabric link, and there's a link to Michael Miller's page where all of the pieces are shown.
Okay. All right. So they can go get some more detail there. Christine, maybe you can tell
sure.
us, you guys are contributors to American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. And online we have one of your projects called Paisley Pop. Can you just describe that quilt?
Yeah, this quilt, a lot of times there's beautiful fabric scale print, and you just want to showcase that print without cutting it up into a lot of little pieces. So that quilt, Paisley Pop, uses a big piece of a floral, and then it's got sort of a basket weave alternate block. And mm-hmm. that way the paisley does really pop in that quilt. But the thing I do like to add in our quilts is a dimensional quality. And by the color placement in the patchworky part, it does look like a basket weave. So it's a really pretty mm-hmm. quilt. It's pretty simple to make, but it's very striking.
Right, I think it's really effective. I mean, you made a really great use of the fabric. Good job.
Thank you.
I was wondering, we're having a slight delay. I know everybody can hear that. It's a technical issue that hopefully we'll correct for the next guest. So, you know, just bear with us. So I want to ask both of you, Susan and Christine, you have become sort of product developers along the way, which I think is quite exciting. You know, you've seen needs, and you've gone out and designed rulers and some other things. But I thought your buttons were really, really cool. Can you tell me about the buttons that you have out there on the market?
Sure. We have two different lines of buttons. One is Poppy Love buttons, which are motifs from our Poppy Love fabric line. Mm-hmm. That we designed some projects for Michael Miller Clubhouse with those. And then our new ones are the monogram buttons, and they are a polymer, I don't know the technical word. Mm-hmm. Christine, what are they made out of?
It's a polymer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have a 9-hole grid, so you can stitch out any letter or number with thread or rickrack or leather or yarn, and then you can attach them to any quilt or knitted item or any craft that you want to spell a letter or word out on or a date.
So that is just so neat. You know, I've seen them. I have a little collage there. You had with them in the picture. Christine, how did you guys come up with that idea?
Oh, I think that was Susan's baby. She had just this lightning striker, I think, and said, hey, if we had 9 holes, we could print out or stitch out letters and numbers. And it just sort of took off, and now right now we have a number of free patterns on our website that use those buttons. And we love it when people send us pictures of things they've done with it. So, you know, we'll go on Pinterest and pin those to our board so people get ideas and, you know, how ideas just feed off each other. So it's really fun to see what people do with these.
So, Susan, can they be washed or, you know, what's the durability of the button?
They can be washed. The one thing you want to watch out for is maybe color test your thread or your yarn to make sure that it's not going to bleed onto your fabric. But besides mm-hmm. that, they can go through the washer just fine.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. I wanted to ask each of you, we only have about a minute and a half, but I wanted to ask each of you your favorite technique. So, Susan, why don't you go first?
Well, I'm all over the place, but I love circles, and I love piecing in circles and sewing curves.
So that's your favorite thing to do right now is curves?
Yeah, today. Tomorrow it might be machine applique.
So, yeah, Christine, what is yours?
A piecer. I was going to say, with the piecing, a lot of what I like to do is play with color placement mm-hmm. because the same block can look so different just by changing the colors and the placement and the gradient you use and wherever you put them. So I like to put those pieces up on a design wall because I think it's important to get your pieces off the floor and up on a wall to get a good view of them. And then even when I'm putting blocks into a quilt, I think perspective is really important. And I use a digital camera a lot to take a picture because you get a whole different view of your quilt
mm-hmm.
when you see
That's
it from
true.
A distance as opposed to seeing it up close. So whenever I'm playing with design, it's the color placement, the block placement, that's what I like to play with.
Perfect, perfect. And Susan, you guys do a lot of traveling, and you have a cruise coming up, right?
We do. We have a cruise in April 2014 out of New Orleans. We just finished the design for the exclusive project for the cruise. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Wonderful. This has been so fun talking to you, Susan Emery and Christine Van Buskirk from SwirlyGirlsDesign.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. This is Pat Sloan from American Patchwork and Quilting. We'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. When hand sewing, use a piece of ribbon to tie together the scissors and spool of thread. Both items can be easily found, and because it's anchored by the scissors, the spool does not roll away.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have Lori Tegner, and she has been on the show before. Lori is an award-winning quilter, and not only does she design patterns, but she makes quilts that she puts into competition, just wonderful, amazing, one-of-a-kind pieces. And Lori's been out traveling around, and she's been trying new techniques, and I thought it would be really fun to have her come back on and share with us some of the stuff that she's been involved with recently. So, hi, Lori, how are you?
Hey, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You are, your quilts are so amazing. What do you have on your frame right now? What are you quilting?
Oh, I'm doing a customer quilt right now, but I have drawings out on the table for a new one. So, hold on just a second. I have drawings for a new one out, and it's going to be a new competition quilt out of gold lamé spandex again.
You use the most amazing fabrics. I mean, your everyday quilter is not going to buy spandex, but no, Lori buys spandex. How does that work for you?
Well, I don't know. I saw it, and it was perfect for what I wanted, and I bought 11 yards of it and finally figured out how to use it. So I went back and ordered a whole bolt of it. So I kind of have to use it now. I have quite a bit of it. It's very stretchy, but if you stabilize it and fuse it to a piece of cotton, it works great.
Okay, so what kind of stabilizer do you use on spandex? Because, you know, people might have, you know, something they want to put in a memory quilt, maybe, that, you know, your average person might run into stretchy material.
Well, what I do is I buy Wonder Under, because it's 18 inches wide.
Okay.
And it is cheaper, and I make big quilts, so I fuse that to the back of the spandex, peel off the paper, and then iron the spandex to cotton material. And then it's just like using regular cloth.
All right. And do you have to use a pressing
give away
cloth? But they should also take a class from you.
Because.
So you put a pressing cloth over top of the spandex?
Well, no, you really do need to use a pressing cloth and iron from the back, because it will melt.
Oh, okay. It'll melt. That's not so good, right? Okay. So, Lori, tell me, you and I were talking, and you were saying that you sort of have a new pencil, to put the term sort of loosely. You've been working with some unique kind of pencils to write on your fabrics. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. They are ink tint pencils by Derwent. And so they look just like colored pencils. You use them just like colored pencils, only you have to be very light-handed with them. And then when you wet the fabric that you've colored on, the color just blooms, and it's permanent. And so they call it ink tint because it behaves like ink when it gets wet. But it's supposed to be very permanent, and I've washed a piece, you know, trialing it, and it seems to work really, really well.
Okay, so let's say this again, because it was crackling a little bit on me, but the company name is what for these pencils, these ink pencils?
Derwent, D-E-R-W-E-N-T.
Oh, okay.
And they're
where
called
would you...
ink tint.
Ink pens. Where would you find those? Do you have to go online?
I order mine from Dick Flick Supply online, because they're so much cheaper. They're very expensive, but they don't wear down very fast. So if you order them online, you can get them for almost half the price of in the stores.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that some of the stores have a good price, so you just have to check around. If your local store carries art things, that would be kind of cool. Be able to ask somebody, too. Yeah. So besides using inks like that, you also on your quilts do a lot of embellishment. Can you talk to me a little bit about putting beads on your quilts?
Well, I don't want anybody getting mad at me, because it's more addictive than quilting is, okay? I started putting beads on an Indian-themed quilt, because my daughter's adopted from India, so I did one of the Indian gods for her, and all of the bangles that he was wearing, I embellished with tiny seed beads, and I just kind of got carried away. I can't stop doing it, so I feel like I'm warning you.
Okay, we have a warning now. Lori's giving the warning. So when you put beads on a quilt, like, do you generally do it for your quilts that you put into competition or your show quilts?
I do. I've started putting them on, well, it's, put it this way, I've put them on more than I haven't put them on for quite a while now, just because it's so addicting and they're so beautiful and it's very relaxing to sit and sew those tiny beads on.
Now, what kind of thread do you use? Because, you know, beads could have little bit sharp edges on them and might cut the cotton, or does that not worry you?
Well, it's probably the only time I don't use Aurifil thread anymore. You know, cotton thread will work, and I have used it. But like you said, some of the beads have faceted edges, and mm-hmm. they make a special beading thread that has a wax coating on it. I believe it's nylon. It's some sort of a synthetic, and you buy it at the bead shop. And you can't break it. You have to cut it very strong, so it holds up to any sharp edges that might be there.
Okay, yeah, I think that's kind of important if you're going to put a lot of work into the beading, that you don't want to all of a sudden have, you know, all these little beads go all over the floor. That would make me scream. So, Lori, let's talk about your trip you just did. You took a trip to Ireland. There's a quilt show that goes on in Ireland. It was the second year for it. And did you go and teach?
No, I didn't. I went and worked. I helped set up the festival booth and exhibit.
Oh.
I did a little bit sightseeing, not too much. But, no, I went in a worker bee.
You went as a worker bee. So did you have a chance to meet Irish quilters?
Oh, Pat, that was the best part of the whole thing. I mean, the show was fabulous. It was very beautiful. You know, who doesn't love a quilt show? And this one was very, very nice. But the people were just fabulous. And so excited about quilting. You know, it's still sort of a new thing over there. Mm-hmm. But there are so many quilters, and they're good. They're very good.
Were you able to sit and stitch with some of them and sort of just chat?
Well, we didn't stitch any, but we went to a lot of pubs in the evening and enjoyed each other's company. And, you know, anybody that hasn't been to Ireland in, say, 20 years, I promise you, the food that used to, when I was there before, wasn't very good anywhere, has changed. I mean, I didn't have a single bad meal the whole time I was there, and just they are the nicest, sweetest people.
Did you, did you exchange anything with any quilters, like fabric or, you know, do something like that?
We bought, you know, most of us bought things. There were vendors there, and I bought some beautiful different fabrics that we don't have here, more for embroidery and things like that. Mm-hmm. But mostly we just enjoyed each other's company and, mm-hmm. you know, looked at quilts together and talked about them. And, you know, I would love to go over again. There's another small tour going, excuse me, this coming spring with someone, and there's some dyeing classes, and I'm kind of wanting to do that because that would be fun, I think.
Yeah. So because of the type of work you do, you know, your pieces that you do, your show pieces, were you able to do some photography that sort of is going to inspire some new work for you?
Oh, yeah. The last day I was there, I went on a little tour by myself and took a lot of pictures. And I went out to the Aran Islands by myself for one day and took a lot of pictures there. And some of them are definitely going to turn into some wall quilts.
So, Lori, when you go to a show, here, just to wrap up our talk, when you go to a show, what are you drawn to in quilts when you go see quilts hanging?
Boy, that's a hard one, Pat. you know, I think color grabs me first, and there's no color that I don't like, but and I found with the Irish quilters, they use colors a lot more freely or maybe differently than we, or mm-hmm. I shouldn't say than we do, but than what I'm used to seeing. And that really attracted me. So I think probably color.
Color. Well, Lori, this has been wonderful. I want to give your website. It's loritignerdesigns.com. It's T-I-G-N-E-R. And Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks, Pat. It was fun. We'll see you soon.
Okay. This is American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, Kay Woods is joining me.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Need inspiration? When designing a quilt block, look to architectural features for ideas. For example, mosaic tile floors and stained glass windows may provide ideas to translate into a quilt. Think of a quilt pattern as a guide and modify it to suit a project or design idea. Adjusting the size, using different colors, or substituting a solid fabric for a pieced unit can change the look of a block.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am so excited to have Kay Wood on the show. When I first started quilting, there was no internet. I know, shocking. And so the only place besides a magazine and a book was the TV to see quilting. And Kay was there showing us all kinds of tips and tricks. And, you know, it's one of the shows that I just couldn't wait to turn on and record and watch over and over and over again. So Kay is going to join me here for the rest of the show, and we're going to talk quilting from A to Z. So welcome to the show, Kay.
Well, hello, Pat. It's great to be with you.
I am so excited to have you here and talk. You chatted at an event in Arizona where you live earlier this year, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to have you come on here to talk. So, Kay, tell me a little bit about why you first made a quilt, your first quilt.
Well, it's, I think I'm a little bit out of the realm of ordinary because I taught my first quilting class before I ever made a quilt.
Oh.
And that, you know, my students knew that I didn't know anything. We were learning together. This was in the 70s. There were no how-to books. And mm-hmm. we sort of learned together. And actually, I never thought I'd be a quilter. I was traveling around some of the states, Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio, teaching free motion machine quilting, mm-hmm. and or not machine embroidery, I mean.
Machine embroidery,
and one
yeah.
One of my students said, why don't we do some of this quilting stuff? And I said, I'll be back in 6 or 7 weeks, bring 3 pieces of fabric. We will start this quilting stuff. I didn't know what kind of fabric, how much, or anything else. And within 6 months, it had taken over completely.
Oh, my gosh. So you were actually in the business of teaching sewing machine techniques, mostly embroidery.
Right.
Oh, okay. And did you work for the sewing machine company?
Pat, I've never worked for anybody but myself. I'm
oh,
one
okay.
of those people that I don't think I would ever hire. it's just, I was just teaching, like you said, the sewing machine art, got into the quilting, and that was it.
Okay, so you actually, did you sew since you were a little girl, or did you sort of start sewing as an adult?
I started taking sewing lessons when I had 4 preschoolers, and it was sort of a sanity thing. And I took every class I could have, and I've always said that if I had worked at a traditional job, I probably could not have done what I have done.
Right,
I was
yeah.
free to explore and to take lots of classes and develop my own techniques.
That's really, really cool. I mean, I love hearing sort of how people start because, you know, you wouldn't believe how many people start when they have young children sewing for like sanity,
right.
like you said. So, well, let's talk a little bit about where it went, you know, because there wasn't a lot of books or magazines or anything. So you just started teaching this one class. Then, Kay, did you decide, you know, hey, I should write a book or, hey, I should do this? Or what sort of happened to make you stay with the quilting versus just keeping on various sewing things?
I did take one quilting class. I signed up for it. And I thought, you have got to be kidding. Why would people ever do this way? And so basically I already knew how to sew, so I decided to sew strips together to see what happens, and I'm still stripping.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in the techniques of quilting. In fact, I've been called a quilt engineer.
Okay. Do you have like a sort of a math background? Is the sort of geometry stuff like our my
yes,
earlier guest, Christine?
Yep.
Okay, so you sort of have that brain. You like the puzzle and putting it all together?
Right. Oh, you bet. Yes. And my techniques led to first I developed the tools, the Star Maker tools that will cut about 75% of any geometric quilt shapes out there. And I developed those, and then I had to have a book or two to go with them, and I wound up with 30 books. And then we switched to patterns, and I now have 60 patterns, and all using the 12 tools that I've designed for quilting.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the tools, because that is, you know, kind of your signature thing, you know, because that's a lot of work and effort to design tools. Oh my goodness. So tell me a little bit about what it is, the Star Master tool.
Okay, the Star Maker Master templates, there are 3 of them, and I've called them Star Makers because when I first designed them, I designed them to make accurate stars. And then
okay.
I found out over the years that they grew and they got so much smarter, and they do much more than stars, but that's That was my idea, because I was, at this point, we were sewing strips together, and in order to cut the strips at an angle to get stars, we needed to have an accurate angle. And
okay.
So we have the Star Maker 5, basically, will give you 5-pointed stars. The Star Maker 6 will give you 6-pointed stars, and the Star Maker 8 will give you 8-pointed stars.
Wow. And do you have anything on your website that people can sort of see, like a little preview or like a YouTube video or something?
We actually have a YouTube channel that includes most of my programs from TV, mm-hmm. and also some other videos. And that's the best place to start.
Okay, so they can go to kaywood.com, and K is K-A-Y-E, and see what the ruler's
yes,
like. And you also have... Okay. So that's good, because it's always nice to have a visual. It's hard to describe
the
tool.
Yeah, and our YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/kwood.
Yep. So tell me a little bit about hexagons, because that's another thing that you are sort of known for and have a love for doing.
Okay, let me tell you how that came about. I talk to a lot of quilt guilds, and I try and find out what patterns they're doing that when they say to me, I would never do it again, then I set out to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, in most cases, I've been able to simplify the technique, so we've eliminated that. But with hexagons, I know people do English paper piecing, and they do regular templates, and you know that all works. But it's so much easier to take a strip of fabric and fold it in half, and you can make 2 cuts on that strip, and you have a perfect hexagon.
Hmm. Wow. And then you're sewing them on the machine.
Yeah, and then when it comes to sewing it together, I have lots of tips and techniques. For instance, a lot of quilters are in the habit of leaving their seam open 1/4 inch
mm-hmm.
at the beginning and end of a seam. Help with matching. That really makes things a lot harder. I've never done that. I always have my seams closed, and in mm-hmm. hexagons, my seams are closed.
Okay.
But I also don't ever sew over a seam. And on my website, we have free tip sheets that people can print out, and because I don't want them to worry about copyrights, it says right on the tip sheet, please share this with a friend. And it shows how to sew or how to cut and how to sew the hexagons. That's just one of the many tip sheets we've got there available.
Well, that is pretty cool. That's very generous of you, Kay, to ask people to share your tip sheets. That's, and you have a lot of them. I went out and looked.
You know, there are some things that we can share and some things that we can't. And
yeah.
I try and share the technique. And so because that's what I'm all about. I'm always into developing new techniques.
So let's,
for
you know,
instance,
we...
I have a tip sheet on there for cutting flying geese.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are so many ways to make flying geese. And when your quilt's done, nobody knows what technique you use. Why not use the easiest?
Hey, I like that. And this is with your ruler. The one that you have on your website, Kay, is it using your ruler to do flying geese?
I do my flying geese all with strips, and I use the Star Maker 8. So one
okay.
of the interesting things about the techniques I teach is you can make any size. You are not limited to mm-hmm. the size of a template, because
okay.
all we work with are the angles, and the angles don't change when the size increases or decreases.
That's really clever. So you had to figure all that out way back when you designed these rulers.
Well, it's just it's the only way that ever made sense to me. And so whenever I needed a new tool for a technique I was trying, then I would design a new tool and get it made.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, I want to ask you just, we're going to take a little break here in a few minutes. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about your TV shows. But before we take the break, what's one of the big things that you've
okay.
seen change in the quilt industry since you've started?
I think the best thing that has happened is that all kinds of quilts and quilting are accepted now. We've thrown out a lot of the rules about this has to be that way, this has to be this way. And so it's opened us up to, we brought in the art quilts, we brought in the primitive looking quilts. Just all kinds of quilts are accepted as long as they're well done.
Yeah, I just love that part too. It's like there's really not too many quilt police. Remember when we used to always talk about the quilt police?
Oh yeah, and they were around.
Yes, they went to see if your bindings were right and your points were chopped off. That's so. What
That's
is your
right? And you know,
yeah.
I design a lot of patterns that I call for my the pointless people. Those are the people that don't want to try to match points, don't want to bother. So let's do patterns that where there are no points to match, because then they become easy enough for a beginner or for anybody that just doesn't want to match points.
So what is your favorite quilt that you've ever designed? Do you have a favorite? Are you allowed?
Most of the time it's the one I'm working on at the present. But I have to, the one that I sent you the picture of, stacking my blocks.
Right.
That is probably my very favorite because it looks so complicated and it is so easy.
Yeah,
there's
it's kind of an optical illusion.
That quilt.
So what are the what's
yes,
the shape in that
yes.
one? Is it a diamond?
All you need to do is to be able to pick out a dark, medium, and light fabric, and the rest happens automatically. There's no playing around to get the design the way you want. It just happens.
This happens from, and are they, and are there Y seams in that quilt?
No Y seams, no. Yeah. Although I do have a technique for perfect Y seams that works all the time, but that particular pattern does not use Y seams. They're all topless triangles.
Wow. Okay. Topless triangles. That sounds intriguing. Very, very intriguing. So, Kay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your TV show.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To keep track of smaller templates and specialty rulers, use a large D-ring binder and zippered see-through pockets. Some templates and rulers come with directions and patterns. Place them in the pockets as well. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am chatting with Kay Wood. So, Kay, let's talk about your quilting TV shows, because it was very groundbreaking. There weren't very many of you on television when your show was on PBS. How in the world did you come about having a quilt show?
Well, it was sort of interesting. Like everything else that's happened in my career, it was purely by accident. I had hired a production company to tape some videos for some of my earlier books.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were done, the guy said, "This is so easy for you. Why don't you do a series for PBS?" I said, "Okay." Then I had to go home and mortgage the house to be able to pay for it. And
oh, my
through,
gosh.
Through very generous companies in our business, such as Janome, I was able to pull it off, and we did 40 seasons.
Oh, my gosh. You
so
had 40?
That's over 520 shows.
Oh, my gosh, Kay.
Yeah, that's more seasons than MASH was on.
Oh, my gosh. So how many years did that span?
Just about 18 or 20.
18. Oh, my goodness.
And it was interesting because, you know, it's pretty expensive to do TV. And so we had it set up so that we would rent a studio for a week. Mm-hmm. And we would go in and tape 13 shows in that week. So there was a lot of prep time. But the actual taping of the TV I found very easy to do.
Right. Yeah. So it was that part was easy, but all the prep. So there would be a lot of prep to do 13 shows in a week.
Oh, yeah.
And did you always have a guest on, Kay, or did some of the shows have a guest and some just had you? How did that work?
The first series I did was called Strip Quilting, and I did not have any guests there. Mm-hmm. And then I came down with chronic fatigue, which was a little bit hard to get 26 shows done in a year by myself. So I decided to call on some of my friends in the industry and invite them in to teach a show. And so they just came in and taught their stuff, and it worked great because they were already teachers. They had patterns. Mm-hmm. And it took a little bit of the load off of me. And I think it made for a better show, too.
Yeah, it's always fun to have guests. I mean, that's why I like doing the radio show. I like to hear your story and your techniques and things like that. So tell me, what did you personally like best about having a TV show and the recording of that many of them? Because obviously you loved it.
Yeah, oh, yes. I think the idea that I was able, instead of teaching my techniques to 100 people at a time, we could reach thousands and thousands of people. It was fun at different shows being a celebrity, although I must admit, I'm glad it was only at the quilt shows. I don't think I could take it all the time. But I've met so many friends, both in the industry and the quilters themselves, and they have been great.
Do you have, like, a memorable guest, whether it was funny or just someone who may have been one of your idols that you had come on your show?
Let me think.
Out of all those guests.
I think John Flynn.
He's a riot.
Yeah, I think John Flynn was the most memorable.
And why?
Quite a quilter, and it was very interesting working with John. I think his brain and his technique correlate with mine. But it was also the first time I met John. Is he said he knew he was a quilter because he had been an engineer when he liked to look at bigger women because they had more fabric in their clothes, and he was planning a quilt.
That dry sense of humor, right?
Yes, very dry, yep.
Did you have any big bloopers during all those years, something you can remember?
You want a secret?
Sure. Yeah. Tell just me. But, just tell me.
When I had guests on, I did not want to know what they were going to do because I wanted it to be as if I was seeing it for the first time, just like the viewers are.
Oh, okay.
And so I had one guest that was so nervous. We knew it would take after take after take to get a good show. And so what I sort of told a white lie. I said, you know what? We are just going to rehearse this and go through it. You just relax, show me it, and then we'll be in a better place to tape the real show. And so we did that, and she got done, and she said, well, I think that went pretty well. And I said, I do too. You're dumb. And it was one of the best shows we had. But, you have to work with the way people come to you.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant, Kay.
I don't think she could have done it if she thought it was for real.
Right.
So, you sort of play games with it and have fun. So, but it was a lot of fun.
And everybody, they can go
Although
to kaywood.com, and they can go to YouTube via your page.
Weeks, I said, never again will I do this.
When you were done, you retired from that for good?
This was after my first series that I taped. I said I would never do it again.
Oh.
But that it didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't. So... let's talk a little bit about your charity work.
One of the fun things that I'm doing now is I'm still taking quilters on quilting cruises. And we
let's talk about that first. Then we'll talk about your charity.
I'm scheduled in 2014 to do my 17th and 18th quilting cruise. And in January, the end of January, we're taking a 22-day land tour cruise to Australia and New Zealand.
That sounds like incredible
fun. I think that'll be lots of fun. That's a common. Yeah. And then in the end of March, we're going back to the Caribbean for 7 days. Mm-hmm. But I like to cruise, and I like quilters, and I like the sunshine and the ocean. And so what better way than to just take some quilters with me and go?
That's right. You could take the quilters on vacation with you, right?
That's right. Yep. And everything's furnished when people come on a quilting cruise. They don't bring anything, no fabric, not even a pair of scissors.
Oh, wow. So you provide scissors and everything. That's great. So they could just come and sew.
Yeah. Sewing machine. Janome furnishes a sewing machine. Yep.
So when they hang out with you on a ship, they can just quilt the night away. They can quilt till they come home.
You bet. They can quilt as little or as much as they want to.
So let's talk about your charity work that you've done called the Love Quilt. Tell me about your organization.
Oh, yeah. I was really proud of that. I knew that quilters were making a lot of quilts for charity. But as I visited the quilt guilds, I thought, some of these folks, they are gorgeous. But it's like one quilt a year they were getting done. And I'm thinking, if people really need quilts, they need comfort quilts, they need more quilts. And so I came up with a technique called the six-hour quilt. And at quilt shows around the country, like Paducah and Houston and the Novi, Michigan show, we would set up sergers, thanks to Janome. And we would invite people to come and do one or two steps on the quilt. And at the end of a show, a three-day show, we would probably have 40 quilts to donate, usually to a local, either Ronald McDonald House or some abusive shelter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun. And we still have a lot of groups around the country making these quilts.
Now, is the pattern available for people to use still? Do they buy it? How can they get it?
It's available on our website, and it's called the 6-Hour Quilt. And actually, it's made mostly on a serger, although there are directions in there for using a sewing machine.
Okay.
And it's a reversible quilt, so there's no actual quilting. The quilting stitches would have to be done. That's all done as a quilt-as-you-go technique.
Oh, okay. So it's all finished. When you serge it, you've got the batting in the middle and the two layers, and you're just sort of like flipping and sewing kind of thing?
You got it, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's like one big log cabin block. So, if you wanted to make one big enough for a gymnasium, it would still be one block.
Well, that we'll see if somebody does that, Kay. That sounds like a challenge to me.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah. The largest 6-hour quilt in the world.
The fabric companies would love it, wouldn't they?
Yes. So when you go to a show, Kay, what draws you? What are you drawn to when you're looking at the quilts?
You know what? I like to watch the quilters looking at the quilts.
Ah.
You know, we've all seen so many quilts, and they're great to look at. But to me, it's the actual quilters and their reaction and how they view the quilt that is the best part for me.
You know, I never really thought about that, but that is fun. It's fun to just sort of stand by a quilt, isn't it, sometimes, and listen to what people say. So you learn a lot about what they like and they don't like.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, so, and sometimes they haven't got a clue, but that's okay.
Right. Those are the people on Sunday afternoon that come to the show that don't quilt.
Another thing I'm involved in, Pat, is I have teacher certification classes that I'm doing. And that's
okay.
About the only sit and sew class type thing that I'm doing right now. And we have teachers around the country who are now starting to teach my technique and are certified by me, so it sort of helps them to line up the classes.
Wonderful. You know, Kay, this has been really nice to have you on the show. It's been such an honor to hear about your story and learn what you're doing now. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And so I think you've got a good thing going here. We'll do our best to promote your radio station.
Wonderful. We can get all of Kay's fans. And you can go to Kay's site, kaywood.com. And thank you again. Appreciate you being here. This is American Patchwork and Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I wanted to tell you the next two magazines that are coming out, American Patchwork and Quilting. The October issue will be out August 6th, and the Quilts and More Fall issue will be out August 13th. You can visit our website at allpeoplequilt.com. Right now, in July of 2013, there's been sort of a makeover of the website. So it has had a facelift. And so you can go out there and check out how the site's changed just a little bit. If you're looking for our radio show button, it is now underneath the Magazines and More top sidebar, and so you can click down. We'll be back next week with new guests and a new program. See you then.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for